is kind. And this is a very difficult aspect about love. It may sound okay, but we have to remember that man has contempt for kindness. Now, we already noted that in Romans. God points it out, and it is a true fact. People have contempt for kindness. God says so. Man has contempt for kindness. We talk about how nice it is and all. Thank you. We talk about how nice it is and all, except in reality, there is a contempt. A lot of times, to make it simple, men toward women, women toward men, take kindness as a sign of weakness. A woman might say, oh, I want a man that's kind, and then the man is kind, and for a while there's a contempt toward it, and the same thing men toward a woman, as weakness, and to be taken advantage of, and these kinds of things. So there's a lot of problems with kindness. But what I want to do is spend a few moments with you in looking at how important kindness is to God. I would like you to see that to God, the priority of kindness to God. Now, I'll just jump ahead and talk it with you tonight because I want you to appreciate how important this study is. Kindness is so important to God. I'm going to show you a verse. What is heaven going to be like? And people ask the question, we all got the idea, sometimes we're funny with it, sometimes we're serious, but there's really not a whole lot of information, let's face it, about the eternal state. There's just not a whole lot. We even still have discussions in regard to just the functions and things that will be going on and all of that. I can tell you this, and I'll show the verse to you when we get there. You want to know what heaven, how God describes heaven? God describes heaven as eternally receiving the kindness of God. That's how important kindness is to God. That's how he describes the eternal state. That's powerful. But more powerful than that, to give you an appreciation of kindness, that love is kind. The second thing said about it. First, it is long-suffering, and we studied why. It has to be that. There will be no kindness if love is not long-suffering. But to show even the most important in the Scriptures placed on kindness is that kindness is an attribute of God. It's not one that people name. People go through the three O's, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, immutability, these kinds of things. But to God, he is kind. Let's open the Scriptures, continue where we left off now. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34. And where we are looking at God describing himself. God is in the midst in this passage of describing himself. And we've looked at how Moses was there and God passed in front of him. And he wanted to see God and what God looked like, what God is like. And let's look at verse 6 of chapter 34. Verse 6, then the Lord passed by in front of him, and we've already gone through what that means, looked at it a little bit. Now, God speaks. People, this is not what man says about God. Not even what man says about God in Scripture. This is what God says about himself. That's how powerful this is. This is not just you and I drawing a conclusion from a passage that God is omnipotent. This is a statement about God from God. The Lord God, and we've looked at what the two different words for the Lord and the word for God here, the tetragrammaton, the holy name of God, and these kinds of things. And then it says, the Lord God, now he describes himself. And the first thing that he says is compassionate. And this is where we left off last week. Compassionate. And so this is where we are in the proclaiming of himself, is that he is compassionate. Now, the word compassionate, rachum, is rachum. We've looked at various things about the word. It means gentleness, which, by the way, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's right out of the Hebrew lexicon. It means gentleness. And this is one that God can attribute to us. We've not spent too much time on the technical study of the attributes of God, if you would, in theology proper, the study of theology proper, the study of God. There are some attributes of God that are communicable. There are some attributes of God that are not communicable. For an example, he might think of an attribute of God that he cannot communicate to us, cannot give to us. An obvious one. Sovereignty is an obvious one. Omniscient. Omnipresent, to me, is just so obvious. He cannot give to us so you can think of, understand what I'm saying. He cannot give to us that. He can give to us righteousness. He can give to us his love. Meaning, give it to us where it comes out from us. I don't mean just give to us, but comes out from us. And so here we have compassionate, which, again, gentleness. And we have to get a full understanding. We studied it in Galatians 5. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And this becomes who and what God is and an attribute of God. And we noted these things. Let me just recap right where we left off. Some things I want to know about compassion without giving a whole lot of points. Number one, in the Hebrew word here, the makeup of the word. I was in the gym today working out, and a lady that goes to some church, and her and her family, they strive to live the Christian life. I'll just put it that way without knowing any more about it than that. But we were talking today, and she asked me, what kind of church I was a pastor of. And so I told her I went to Dallas Seminary, and that kind of, probably took me up a couple of notches in her estimate. And then I told her I majored in Hebrew and Old Testament languages, and she really was impressed. And that's why I had the opportunity to say, no, don't be impressed. I said, yes, I do all my study. Well, I was telling her I do the study from the Greek and Hebrew, and then, work it out with the text. And she said, wow, man, to see the truth like that and all. And so we just got into discussion that the secret's not in the Greek and Hebrew. Just because somebody has Greek and Hebrew does not mean that they're going to see the truth. And what I did appreciate, she saw what I said immediately, and you could see her thinking. She went, yeah, you're right. And I said, there are a lot of people have Greek and Hebrew, and they're not even near the truth. A lot of people have Greek and Hebrew that don't see a lot of the truth. So we don't want to be impressed by that, but it is rich. I don't want to distract from it by taking that away. I just want you to be aware of the secret's not if somebody has Greek and Hebrew, they got it. That's not true. It's going to be the Spirit opening that person's eyes. Just as we saw in our study in John, just because a person studies the Scriptures diligently, they got it. That's not true. There are scholars in all of the denominations, all the movements, and they don't have it. And yet, they study in the original text. Let me tell you a couple of things, kind of pull the word together so we can move on. Number one, involved in the attribute of compassion is relationship between two or more. It's much like love. It involves a relationship of some type. Secondly, the word compassion, the concept behind this word, implies or has with it distress. One of the persons is in distress. Adverse condition or circumstances of another. Pain. Hopeless, helpless conditions. This is the condition of man in sin. This is the encumbrance of man. Now, that brings us to point three. What this Hebrew word tells us is the attribute of God. This is an essence of God that when he comes upon distress, when he comes upon the encumbrance of sin, when he comes upon, as we saw in Genesis 1, he comes upon darkness, void, empty, at the pool of Bethesda, sick, blind, withered, those kinds of things. There is an attribute of God that is going to respond, react, whatever, to all that's going on. So this is why compassion is so important in salvation. Now, if we were here to study this word, we'd go through the Bible, and I'd show you how it's related at the cross, and a lot of things related to compassion, but it is so important in providing man with salvation, and it is so important in seeing man can't do anything. We talk about so many people, when we study Revelation, what is the real issue all the way through? Most people think the real issue is being good versus not being good. Being good versus bad. That's That is not it. And one of the most important things you see is the compassion of God here that comes across all mankind, and no one can be good. So what is His compassion going to do? This is why compassion is important, and how God set up spiritual recovery for the believer when he is captured in sin and dead in darkness of sin. This is why compassion is so important in God dealing with man in every way. So this is understanding who and what God is. If God does not have compassion, and I'll add to this love, then man is in a no hope solution or situation. We are in a no hope condition. We have nothing to appeal to God. Nothing at all. If God does not possess love and compassion, these things that we're looking at, if He does not, and that's why God is bringing it out at this point, because the Jews are in a hopeless, helpless position, and they think they can do law, the law's been given, and that's even funny to God. And so God points out really how I work with you. This is God telling how He really works with the people. So without compassion, people, we have nothing to appeal to. Nothing whatsoever. This is why somebody you run into, every now and then we talk about judges. Boy, no compassion, no anything. They throw, you know, buy the book. Okay, then you know you have no hope. There's no way you're going to get anything out of this. This guy is just going to go, boom. And if God deals with us that way, people, it's all over for all of us. We have nothing to appeal to. We have no hope. He is a righteous, holy God. And who's banking on that aspect of God? Who's banking on that? Satan is. Satan is banking that God will stay with His holiness. And it's these kinds of things that we're studying that just cause Satan so much anger and frustration as far as dealing with God. He wants God, he's like Jonah, he wants God to let him have it. Let us have it. Let us remain in Satan's kingdom of darkness. So without this, we have no hope whatsoever. So compassion is that attribute of God that acts. It must act when it comes upon those in distress, when it comes across those that are in this condition. So it's the way that God deals with us. He is compassionate in His dealing with us. So love acts. It is a characteristic of compassion to act. If it doesn't act, it's not compassion. So he has compassion. His compassion acts, and this is important, unconditionally. You don't earn or deserve it. Christians, a lot of times, are more compassionate toward a small animal that's hurt. They have a pet, been hit by a car, or whatever it may be. And, whatever. And comes home from a fight, just the compassion, and it just gushes out of them. Oh. And then a Christian's over here in the darkness of sin, and they want judgment. But if you can understand us as being the dog or the pet before God, this is the way God sees us. Totally helpless. And it's unconditional. What do we do with this dog? Doesn't matter what happened with the dog. There's compassion here. This dog or this cat. Why you do that with a cat, I don't know. But, you know, some people do. So, whatever. And horse, whatever, you know. And you just feel compassion. You just, it's in pain. And, you know, but look what it did. It doesn't matter what it did. There's nothing it can do about this condition. And I can. I can give it medicine. I can take care of it. I can help it. And so we're prone to do something about it. Well, this is the way God deals with us, unconditionally. People, conditional passion is not the attribute of God. It's unconditional. This becomes very important in dealing with and understanding salvation. It is unconditional. This is, if you understand this condition of God, this attribute of God, this is important. If you understand this attribute of God, this is why when you are in sin, and you have failed, and you are in a horrible situation, you don't run from God. Now, I'm not picking on the Roman church. I'm just using it as a good point of teaching a doctrine here, the truth here about God. They have all these things. And they have from Mary first, all the way down, and you go through her. You go through Mary. You go through the saints. What's this whole setup? You're not worthy to go to God. Do you understand that? You're not worthy. You need to go through Mary. You need to go through this saint. You need to have your saint to go between you. That's the view of God. And then God will look at the saint and say, ah, well, because of you, I'll do it. Now, who's the only person that stands between you and I and God? Jesus Christ. He looks at his son. But what I want you to understand is they have this idea that if you're really bad, you can't go to God. People, that's just the opposite of what God is like. When you find yourself in that condition, this is the God you run to, not from. You don't run from him. You run to him. You know, a lot of people, they run from God when they've really failed. But where did we learn that characteristic? Fundamentally, first of all, first time in the Bible, running from God and hiding. Adam and Eve. It's a fundamental thing to run from God. I got this new boy. Oh, man, I've really blown it out. God's going to get me. You go and hide from God. People, it's just the opposite of what kind of God he is. All through Scripture, he's the God you run to. And he can even play a little game. He says, well, why should I help you? Look what you've done. Because I'm in your son. And because you are a compassionate God. Not because I earn or deserve anything. Because we don't. But this is an attribute of God. I want to move on, but I do want you to appreciate what God is saying about himself. So he says, the Lord God compassionate. Ah! And then the next word. If the compassion doesn't do it, these things just keep building on each other. The next word. And gracious. Here's the second essential aspect of God dealing with the creature. And it's a descriptive adjective. Kanun is the word. I put it on the board if there were any reason for doing so. But let's deal with what the word means. This becomes so vital in dealing with who and what God is. God is compassionate and gracious. You know something? I don't know how many of you know this. These two words are often together in Scripture. They're often together in Scripture. Look with me just quickly at Psalm 116. Just look at Psalm 116. Let me show you something here. I just use this as an example, but this Scripture, you'll find compassion or gracious and compassion together. Psalm 116, let's just read a few verses of this great psalm. Now, the condition and the circumstances, failure, sin, death. And look how he writes, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. People, it just is amazing. Sometimes I don't think we appreciate, let me rephrase that, I don't want to miss it. I think sometimes we might take advantage, or if we have a little contempt of prayer, just, you know, oh, thank you, Father. You know, as we kind of get in bed, no, thank you, Father, da, 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 da. People, you're talking to God. I don't mean we want to be in some ceremonious position of down on your knees every time and this type of thing. I love the line in My Fair Lady. Where Higgins, when he is at the beginning of the movie, he goes to this learning on the way people speak. And he one of the lines that I love in it, he said, it would be so wonderful if we would learn how to speak correctly so that we wouldn't offend the ears of God by the way we talk with him. Not necessarily by what we're asking, but just by the way we even talk to God, that we wouldn't offend him if we would speak correctly. But, we're talking to God and that God hears. Sometimes I'll say that in our prayer time that we're just thankful that you hear our prayers. That's just a phenomenal thing that the sovereign, omnipotent God has time to hear our prayers. Who are we? Who are we even among men? I mean, if we just take, give man some kind of a credit, who are we? We're not the president of any countries. We're not great leaders and generals and all of this kind of stuff. And that he hears our prayers. That's powerful, people. We need to have that kind of understanding about prayer. Prayer is powerful. Okay. I love the Lord because, now why do I love him? Because he hears my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me. The terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my life. Okay, that's his prayer now. Look at the next verse. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he delivered me. That's what kind of God he is. And note what he appeals to. The compassion of God, the grace of God, and the righteousness of God. We'll deal with that on our study on Wednesday night in dealing with why righteousness is there in that First John passage. Okay, let's go back now to our study in Genesis 34. But I just wanted you to see that. So it's relationship, distress, and compassion. And now we see that he is also gracious. And, let's look at another. I noticed another one that I wasn't going to read, but let's look at another one. Psalm 86, please. To me, these are just great. We haven't dealt with the Psalms too much. It's another one of the frustrations of having a small assembly. When I was in seminary, and I had Dr. Walker, who was a genius in the languages, just a sheer genius, brilliant individual. And I'm very thankful that I got to be at Dallas while he was there. And I had him borrow Psalms. And he was extremely difficult, professor. And I'm not exaggerating, but if you did his assignments correctly, and you would meet Tuesday, Thursday, or Wednesday and Friday. Monday had off. That was called Preacher's Traveling Day. For in case seminary students went somewhere to preach or something, they could travel back Monday. So generally, you didn't have class on Monday. So your classes were Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Friday. And I'm not exaggerating. It would take, per assignment, 3 to 6 hours. Just for his. If you did it right. If you just went to the library and got out the cheat books, went down, find your answer, boom. But if you went through, he was training you. If you did his work, he was training you in just thinking Hebrew, not just being able to read it, but thinking Hebrew. Because some of the most difficult things are who's speaking, who's not speaking, who's the subject, who's the object, what's the object, this kind of thing, and just different things. And the Psalms just it came alive. They're just so beautiful, and we haven't studied some Psalms and. We ought to just spend tonight just looking at them because they're so phenomenal. Incline thy ear to me. I want to look at with you at Psalm 86. And let's look at verse 15. 86, verse 15. By the way, note how it begins. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Note this. What are the conditions? What is the deal? People, these are where people hurt. These are where people are in sin. This is where people have failed. This isn't this kind of thing that I deserve it. Look, I don't deserve it. And so we come down to verse 15 in this passage now. He says, but thou, O Lord, art a God. He says now, but thou, but you, in contrast to me, in contrast to man is what he's saying. In contrast to our sinful way, our weak way, finite way. In contrast, reference to God now, art a God. Now look what he says about what kind of God he is. You art a God merciful and gracious. So here's the graciousness now. Merciful and gracious. Now, the kicker, the word for merciful, is the same word that we just studied for compassion. Here it's translated merciful. But it's the same Hebrew word that we just saw translated compassion in Genesis, in the Exodus 34. Compassionate and gracious, they go together. But note the rest of the verse. He says, slow to anger. Stop right there. Slow to anger. What is that? Long-suffering. Good. That's the way you start seeing these things. If you understand love as per 1 Corinthians 13, you start seeing the things about love all through Scripture. Yeah, it's going to be slow to anger, long-suffering. That's what love is. And abundant in loving-kindness. Slow to anger, long-suffering, we know about that. Abundant in loving kindness and truth. Okay, so this is what God is. This is what God is about. This is what kind of God He is. And again, it's just a great psalm, and I love the psalms. Verse 1, the condition, the circumstance. Incline thine ear, O Lord. Note the relationship. There's a relationship with Him, O Lord. And answer me, for I am afflicted. I'm in distress. The burden, the power of sin, the power of failure, the weakness of the flesh, the weakness of man, and I'm in need. I'm in need. This is what we need to be able to do with our Heavenly Father. I'm in need. I can't do this. I'm in total need of you and what you are. Okay, verse 2. The request. Do preserve. People, when you pray to God, make the request be made known. Yes, we want to know, and we want to have that attitude that we learned from our Savior. Oh, my goodness. We want to have that attitude that we have from our Savior, and that will be done. But people, there's not a thing wrong in letting your Heavenly Father know your request. Make them very clear. Make them very bold. But remember, prayer is not a tool that we control God by. It's a simply, if you're a parent and your son, I hope you would want the kind of relationship with your son or your daughter, they can come to you and let you know what they want. My goodness, you don't want to have a relationship where they, well, I won't ask Dad, and I know I won't get it, and I know they'll chew me out for even asking for the $5, and I know I won't ask for that, because, you know, she's so busy, she can't do anything for me anymore. I won't ask. Oh, that's a wonderful parent-child relationship. You want him to be able, or her to be able to come to you and say, this is what I'd like. And you want to be the kind of parent, either you can't, or you know it's not going to be for their best interest, but you sit down and you talk with them. You tell them what's going on. You tell them why not, or why so. And so he lets his request be made boldly before him. Do preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. Oh, wow, that's really good. You're a sinner, now you tell me you're godly. I'm in you. I'm in your son. O thou my God, deliver thy servant, and here's the kicker, who trusts in thee. Not confession, not repentance here. He goes right to the heart. I trust you. Now, let's look at verse 3 and 4. Be gracious to me, O Lord. Second line is the basis for the request. For to thee I cry all day long. I hope you see it. I hope you see it. He didn't answer. People, you may, now all day doesn't literally mean from 8 in the morning to 5 in the evening. It just means all day, a period of my life. And, you know, it just tells you God isn't going to answer your prayer necessarily right away. You may linger in the sorrow, the hurt, the pain. Your soul may pine. Your body may pine for quite a while. So he says, all day long. In other words, the period of the light when I should be seeing your grace and your love, I pine, I cry to thee all day long. Now, verse 4. Make glad the soul of thy servant. boy, look where he's cut to. He cuts right to where the real issue is. The real issue is the soul. This is where we have happiness. This is where we have peace. This is where we are miserable. This is where we hurt people. This is where we hurt inside. This is what we saw Sunday morning. Sticks and stones will break my bones, and words will never hurt me, names will never hurt me. So wrong. So wrong. A man can just completely destroy a woman's soul with words, and a woman can do the same thing to a man. And sometimes, non-repairable, as far as the relationship. It just, you hurt too deep, what you said. We like to make fun about it in regard to what a man may say about her mother or this type of thing and that, but people, there's just things you can say, and it cuts very deep. The soul is where the real issue is. Soul is where it is. I'll recover if you hit me. If you drew blood, it'll heal. But what you do to the soul is entirely different. We make a big deal, and we should. Now, don't misunderstand me here. But we in our society make this real big deal about hitting another person and touching them and all this type of thing. And that is horrible. People, that doesn't even begin to compare with what you do with your mouth. Yes, I support the laws that will prevent that, but I'm going to prevent us from hitting one another. And there are no laws that are just going to crap up the mouth. But we can just say whatever we want to the police, to a policeman. I can't hear him, but you can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want to each other. Women can call a cop, call the police if a man batters her. If you can't call him, he's just calling her things with his mouth. And yet in Scripture, that's far worse. Okay, I'm preaching. I got to move on. Let's just read through, and I just try to note a few things that are here. But he goes right to where the issue is. Make glad the soul of thy servant. How specific is this prayer? This is what I want from you. And for to thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. That's what I lift up to you. And I don't go to man. I don't go to circumstances. I'm dealing with my soul before you. Now, verse 5, three virtues of God in his dealing with us. Now, look what he says about God. For thou, Lord, art good. We're going to have to study that. For thou, Lord, art good. What did Christ say? There is none good but one. You call me good, only the Father. But thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. This is the goodness of God. Okay. And abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon thee. Ready to forgive. Abundant in loving kindness. That's like our word riches. It is the riches overflow. Verse 6, the prayer. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Notice he's coming back to God. He's talking with God. Give ear, listen, O Lord, to my prayer. Give heed to the voice of my supplications. Verse 7, the confidence of prayer. In the day of my trouble, I shall call upon thee, for I know thou wilt answer me. That's my hope. That's my confidence in the midst of all of this. That's what makes it endurable, bearable. It's because I do know you will answer me at a proper time, in the proper season. Verses 8 through 10, why he is going to God, the basis of his confidence in God. There is no one like thee among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like thine. Not my works, and not the works of the law, but yours. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and they shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and dost wondrous deeds. Thou alone art God. There's a great spiritual warfare going on because Satan said, I am. And he says, no, there's only one. Verse 11, the absolute necessity for knowledge and understanding these things. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. What's the truth? The truth is the truth of the gospel. I will do it for you. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Verse 12. Thanksgiving. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forever. And then in verse 13, he comes back to who and what God is. Let's take a look at it. He comes back to the understanding of God. Verse 13, for thy loving kindness toward me is great, and thou hast delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. He's already done that. He's already saved you. You can always have a basis upon which you go to God. Our salvation is a pattern of so many things. It's even a pattern of why we can go to Him with confidence and boldness. Verse 14, enemies. O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life, and they have not set me before them. Now, I want to say in closing of this, you can reread this. We won't do it tonight. Maybe you want to go home tonight if you like Psalms like this. And just read this as though it's Jesus Christ speaking to God. And you'll be shocked how beautiful this thing falls. Just think about Jesus Christ at the cross and why God will resurrect him. All the things that are going on here. This is powerful. We'll see that a lot when we get in the various types of studies. So, verse 15. The first 14 was the enemy, and now verse 15. Okay, back to who and what God is. But thou, O Lord, art a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth. Verse 16, prayer request. Isn't it beautiful? Hit God on who and what God is, here's my request. Hit God on who and what He is, here's my request. On the basis of this, I give you my request. Turn to me. Be gracious to me, because you're a gracious God. Be gracious to me. Just said that in verse 15. You are a merciful, gracious God. Be merciful and gracious to me. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Grant thy strength to thy servant, and deliver the son of thy handmaid. The basis for coming to him. And what a fantastic conclusion in verse 17. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, O Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Even before there's any delivery, he's already comforted. Even in the midst of sorrow, he's already comforted. People, I'm saying, using the attribute of God. Just stay with me in closing. The attribute of God is his compassion, kindness, these things, and that's what you and I can appeal to. What does this tell you? The people that sinned and hurt you, and they come to you, look what you can give them if you love as God loved. If you have spiritual love of the Holy Spirit, your love will be kind like His love is. Not judging, not beholding grudges, vengeance, anger, hate. Look what His love, this compassion, this kindness of God, look what it does for you and for me. It's the whole basis we can go to Him, even when we failed. That's what you want to love others. That's the way you want to love others. That's why Scripture says, being transformed into His image, and people will know that you're His. Because just like Him, you don't hold those kind of grudges. They can come to you. They don't need mediators, and they don't need all of this stuff. They can come to you, your enemies, the people that have hurt you, husbands, wives, children, friends, relatives, whatever it may be, in the church, whatever, that have hurt you and sinned. It doesn't matter. Your love is kind, and that's going to appeal to them, just as God's kindness appeals to us. The whole basis of going to Him when we have failed. I failed. I dumped Him. How horrible and how embarrassing it would be to a parent, I think. I'm not a parent, but I think it would be just, I know it would have been for my mother. But, you know, what is he doing here? Well, he's going to talk to you in my behalf so you don't, you know, kill me for what I just did or something. You don't need to bring someone else. You don't need to have one of your friends or somebody come in here and that would be so embarrassing that your children had to go get somebody else that was so afraid of you. They couldn't come to you. I don't care what they've done. How horrible that would be. Well, people, this is the way your life is to be to others. The very same way. Closing the word up. Thank you for staying over a little bit. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the few moments we've had to open the scriptures, examine these things about who and what you are and about your love, and understand the importance of kindness. The importance of kindness in your attributes, in your essence, and in your dealing with us, Father, and therefore the importance of our love being kind and what that means and how that is designed to affect the other person. We've seen, Father, how long-suffering of love affects us in our own soul. Now get a glimpse of what kindness will do for others. It's not about us. But love is kind is not about us. But love is kind is about the other person. It's about the person that has hurt us. It's about the person who's failed us, sinned against us. It's about them. Cause us to be able to appreciate even more and more and understand. Teach us, Heavenly Father, who and what you are and the love that you put through us is the same love you give to us. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.